I'm going to read from the Zohar. We're reading from the Parsha of Matot.
I'm going to say Ana B'Koch first.
No, not when I study Zohar. I don't say it. I say another prayer, which is a verse from Psalms. Vayihinu am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. V'kol hataf banashim asher la yadu mishkav zachar taman tanenan amar Rabbi Yehuda ein haolam mitnahag ela bitrei gavnin diatu mistar ita diashtekachat hachimat libah hahidiktiv v'kol isha hachmat lebiadecha tavu v'yaviu matve et hatkelet v'et ha'argaman umay matyan et hatakelat v'et ha'argaman gavnin dik lilan begoy gavavne. But all the women children that have not known man by lying with him. In relation to this, we learn that Rabbi Yehuda said, the world is maintained by two colors only, white and red, namely chasadim and chokmah of the left, that come from the aspect of the wise-hearted woman. Hence it says, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple. What did they bring? The scripture says blue and purple, which are colors contained within colors. That is, there are two main colors, white and red, and blue and purple are included within these two colors. What that's saying is that we know that colors are very meaningful to the Sephirot, and to the world at large. And like when we get dreams in our intuitive level, we get a dream. Colors are very important to help us explain the dream and to understand the dream. And the main aspect of the colors, there are two. White, which is chesed, and red, which is gevurah. And all of the other colors can actually be expressed as mixtures of those two colors. And the other colors, therefore, to some extent represent central column, although not completely in balance. Green, which is the middle color between white and red, is the true balance point. But blue is more on the left side, and purple is more on the also on more to the left side. And that's the explanation of this verse. Do you have any questions?
No.
Verse 2. Hada hu diktiv darsha tsemer ufishtim vata as bechafetz kapecha Ukti biadecha tavu, my tavu, amaribi Yehuda, tavu bedina, tavu berachame, amaravi itzak, amai itkarya, isha amarle, diklila bedina beuklila. This is the meaning of she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. It's a verse from the Eshet Chayil. Excuse me, It's not Asia Chayil. It is from Mishlei, but it's a different chapter. Since wool pertains to the right and mercy and flax to the left and judgment, it is also written, did spin with their hands. What is spin? Rabbi Yehuda says they spin. What?
I don't really understand this. All right, repeat it again. I'm sorry. I don't understand the connection between the flax and the wool. All right, go ahead.
Well, wool comes from a lamb, right?
Yeah.
But wool, the lamb is the most negative animal, but wool is the color white when it's washed. Not when it's dyed, but when the when it comes off the animal and it's washed of its dirt, it's white, representing mercy. Flax comes from cotton. And those two items, one represents mercy, which is wool, and linen represents judgment. And that's why we have the law of shatness. Because to mix linen and wool, you're mixing the two energies of mercy and judgment.
So that's the origin of not have, of shatness, I guess.
It's one of the reasons for shatness. Now, most people will tell you shatness is a hope. Shatness, you can't understand shatness because it really doesn't make sense. Because when it comes to the tzitzit, you can have a tzitzit. The strings are made from wool, which is mercy. But you can have a tzitzit where the shirt portion is made from cotton. And how can it? Isn't it shatness? It doesn't make sense. And this is the hook part of the discussion. But we understand in Kabbalah, we understand that, you know, we get closer to things as we understand these are the two aspects. But sometimes you need both aspects to create the central column. And that's what tzitzit represents. It's bringing the person, the man, back to balance. Because when he looks at the string, he looks at the color blue, techelet, in the one string, and the other strings are white. Again, this is all part of this process of the two colors. And everything in our life is in this frame. Even your confusion. Your confusion comes from you bringing judgment rather than mercy. If you accepted it, it would be merciful because it would be cleansing and you would know it would be cleansing. But when you try and use your own logic, and I'm not abusing you with this, I don't mean to upset you with this, I'm just using it to explain because the Zohar is meant to be used. It's meant to be brought into our life. Wool pertains to the right and mercy, and flax to the left and judgment. It is also written, did spin with their hands. What does it mean to spin? Rabbi Yehuda says they spin with judgment and they spin with mercy. That is, they interlace right and left with each other. And the judgment of the left are sweetened by the mercy of the right. Rabbi Yitzhak said, why is a woman, the Hebrew word is isha, so called, which is derived from fire, which is the Hebrew word esh? He said to him, she contains judgment and mercy. She is therefore called isha, the letters of esh, hey, esh being judgment, and hey, mercy. Any questions?
Yes, because if a woman has judgment and mercy, I would think that there would be in conflict, just like the tchelet, just like the shatness, where you have two different
energies. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And what do men say about women? We can't understand them. You're absolutely correct, because the mixture is there. How can a woman bring life? How can a woman create milk, which is mercy? But her basic nature is to manifest and to be in the frame of judgment. That's why the word Isha starts with the word fire. Fire represents left column. It represents the desire to receive. And the woman has more desire to receive than a man. Man is sharing. Just visualize the body parts. The man is sharing. He's looking outward. His erection goes out. The woman is receiving. The nature of the vagina is to receive something inside. These physical, by studying the physical world, we learn about the spiritual world. That's what the Kabbalists do. That's the gift of it. And yes, it doesn't make any sense. How can a woman have both? And because she has both, many times in this world she appears on the physical level to be more sharing than a man. Have I confused?
But in essence, whether she's more sharing than a man is not really the whole thing. I think it's that women are much more complex and they see things on different levels simultaneously that men don't.
Agreed.
So they have a different complexity in terms of understanding how the world works.
That's true.
And men are much more pragmatic and they see things more on one level. Not that they're better or worse, they're just different in terms of their thinking process.
That is correct. But actually, women are more pragmatic. Women, the whole story of the creation of Eve by taking the rib from Adam. The word rib, or whatever word in Hebrew is used, has a gematria of 50, which represents and connects to Bina, the 50 gates of Bina. A woman is the he in the Tetragrammaton. A woman is connected to Malchut. The man is connected to Zeranpin, the spiritual level. Man should be more spiritual than a woman. And yet, because Hashem injected the woman with these 50 gates of Bina, the woman's complexity comes from this disparity. She is both Malchut and Bina. She's both higher than the man and lower than the man. Potentially, the man is not as complex because he is just connected to Zeranpin. This is what Kabbalah teaches. This is what the Zohar is saying right here in a paradoxical way, a metaphorical way. Should I continue?
Yes.
Tachati de'amar Rabbi Elazar kol ita bedina Itkarya adiatama ta'ama dirachame ditanya mesidra de barnash ate fivavra mesidra deita ate sumaka ta'ama ita mekibvara vechivara Wara Adif. Come and see. Rabbi Elazar said, every woman is considered to be of judgment, since they are rooted in the left column. It is so until she tastes the taste of mercy, that is, marries a man. As a male is rooted in the right column, which is chesed and mercy, we learn that it is from the side of the man that white is produced, such as the bones of the fetus, for he is of mercy. From the side of the woman comes the red of the fetus, the red of flesh and sinew, which are of judgment. when a woman tastes of the white, that is when she is married to a man, white is more predominant in her, though her root is the red. Now, I am not an expert in DNA by any chance. I don't really study science extensively. But this verse is telling us, and elsewhere in the Zohar it says the same thing. We know that in the chromosomes of DNA, there's a man has X and Y. He has a short chromosome, and the woman has two Y chromosomes, two long chromosomes. And what it's saying is that the woman is donating that Y chromosome, and on that Y chromosome is going to be the flesh and the sinew. Parts of the body are coming from that chromosome. Now, it could also be more extensive in that whatever the woman donates, that side of it becomes activated by virtue of that long chromosome that she donates. And conversely, with the man, the short chromosome donates or activates the male side of the other. I think that's more to the truth. The male side of which are the bones and the white parts of the body. Should I continue?
Yeah.
This is verse 4. V'tachatziyamai asiran nefeshiyar amin diadai mishkive dekura mishum detanainan it yamina ve'it shemala Yisrael ushar amin ve'gimolayan ve'gehinom Alma da vi alma diate Yisrael vekavle dirachame ushar amin vekavle didina utnan ita diatama ta'ama dirachame rachame natcha Itavidita ama ta ama dina dina bedina itabekat vealaihu itkere vehaklavim aze nefesh lo yadu shava. Come and see. This is why the woman of the other nations who know man by lying with him are forbidden to be wed. We have learned that there is right, chesed, and left, judgment, which are Israel in the other nations, and also the Garden of Eden on the right, and Gehinnom on the left. This world is on the left, and the world to come is on the right. The children of Israel correspond to mercy on the right, and the other nations to judgment on the left. We have learned that when a woman has a taste of mercy, that is when she marries one of the men of Israel, mercy overpowers judgment, and she turns into mercy. When a woman has a taste of judgment, that is when she marries a foreigner who pertains to judgment, as mentioned, judgment cleaves to judgment. The judgment in the woman adheres to the judgment in the foreigner. It is written of them, the dogs are insolently greedy. They never have enough. This is why it's important that Jewish souls marry Jewish souls.
Can you explain that to me again? And what do they mean by foreigner? Does it just mean not Jewish?
Yes. They mean that their soul is rooted in the other nations.
Can you explain to me why again you're supposed to marry someone who's not Jewish?
Can I explain what?
I don't understand that idea that you're not supposed to... Foreigner means somebody not Jewish? Is that what it means?
Yes. Listen to my words. Foreigner means someone whose soul is rooted in the other nations.
What do they mean by other nations? Just non-Jewish nations?
Yes, there's 70 nations and plus the Jewish nation.
Okay.
So when a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, the judgment of the woman and the judgment of the man, their judgments cleave together and strengthen each other. And they become more left column. They create a bigger desire to receive that cannot ever be fulfilled. That's why the verse from Isaiah is saying they never have enough. The dogs are insolently greedy. Their judgment, their desire just gets larger. It becomes more intense. And there's no way to fulfill it. And that's why whenever you see a Jewish woman married to a non-Jewish man, ultimately, she will never become satisfied with him. Now, there are many people that go through marriages on the surface and in the illusion of this world that they seem to be very happy, and Bezrat Hashem, they should continue like that. But ultimately, they will reach some point in their tikkun process. Because the reason they got married is there's a correction to be made between these two souls. And so sometime they will reach a point where she will realize that she is unfulfilled.
I see.
Now the other side of that, why shouldn't a Jewish man marry a non-Jewish woman? The verse in the Zohar is saying that she becomes merciful. His mercy overcomes her judgment. But ultimately, the capability, she is not capable of revealing what he can fulfill her with. I can't hear you. Say again.
You'll be home? Okay, I'll call you back. Bye-bye.
Should I go on?
Just a second, please. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to take a call and tell them to call me back. Go ahead.
V'al da'taneinan ani valet le'akom kishura. Bo kakelev ma kalba takiva fa beruche hatzifa of hakadina bedina hatzifa bekola hanivalet le Israel tenenan ketiviatem hadvekim bahashem elohechem Chaim kol fachem hayom memtet mishum denishmata di Israel ad yamirucha de Elohim chaim diktiv ki ruach malfane ya'atov mashma diktiv milifane ufkich Itta dehi betulat tulta vela itavakat bedina kashya di sharamim Dit avakat bi Israel rachame natscha ve'it kashirat. In relation to this, we have learned that a woman who is married to a foreigner is attached to him like a dog. Just as a dog has a strong, impudent spirit, she who is married to a foreigner is also most impudent. When judgment cleaves to judgment, we learn that she who is married to one of the children of Israel, it says of her, but you that did cleave to Hashem your Elohim are alive, every one of you this day. What is the reason thereof? The soul of Israel comes from the spirit of living Elohim, as it is written, but the spirit should faint, also envelope before me. This is understood from the phrase before me, which means from before the Shekhinah, namely from Zeranpin, called living Elohim. Therefore, in a virgin woman who does not cleave to the harsh judgment of the other nations, as is mentioned above, but cleaves to Israel, which is of mercy, mercy is more powerful, and she is corrected from the judgment in her. Questions?
I don't really understand this idea of foreigner. When you're saying foreigner, do you still, does that truly mean just somebody who is from a foreign country or someone who's not Jewish?
It's somebody who's not Jewish. A foreign country is a physical thing. When we talk about a nation, we're talking about a group of souls that have a similar desire to receive. You have to get out of this physical connection and start thinking spiritually when you read the Zohar. A foreigner, what is the Hebrew word for foreigner is ger.
Now, you know why I'm saying all this? Can I just bring in something personal? Is that okay?
Sure.
My son is planning on marrying somebody from Buenos Aires. And initially when my sister heard about this, you know, she's very from, but she's also in a certain kind of world, you know? Anyway, she said, oh, he should marry somebody from another country. I said, why is that a problem? She's Jewish, she's religious, what's the big deal? And then she retracted it later. So I'm wondering if it came from this sentence or something, that she misunderstood something. I don't know.
I don't think your sister reads the Zohar, does she?
No, she doesn't.
But she went and she talked to the rabbi, and the rabbi told her the halakha, which is it has nothing to do with the foreign country. It has to do with the concept of a ger. A ger is the Hebrew word for foreigner, stranger, actually, is the way it's usually translated. But it also is the same word as used for the convert. And that's what's being described here, is the conversion process. And why does that happen? When a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, and he injects his seed within her womb, he is injecting a level of consciousness of mercy that fulfills her desire, fulfills her judgment, and overpowers it. And he has a stronger desire to share than she has to receive. And so she becomes corrected, as this verse says. Now the question that I have is, since the halakha says a Jewish man should not marry a non-Jewish woman, why not? We're correcting them. But the other side of it is that the non-Jewish woman tends to revert because her background, she stays connected to the Malchut, to the physical world, and her background is based on the culture she comes from, and her children are raised like that, and her children are not Jewish until they convert. Of course, in today's world, we have the patrilineal descent being taught by the Reform movement. So it's difficult to comprehend all of that and bring it into perspective. And this isn't the place to really resolve those questions. It is better for people to marry people of their own culture and background. It is better for Jewish souls to marry Jewish souls.
Yeah, but this woman is not a convert. She's a Jewish woman.
Yeah.
She just happens to...
It's very beneficial. And also, she's not a... By not being an American woman, your son will find it easier because she will be less intense.
And less demanding, believe me.
There's no question about it. Every Jewish man knows that to marry a Jewish woman, he's asking for trouble, because her desires are greater than the other women. Verse 6. V'tachat, by the way, that comment will be construed as, how do I say it? Not politically correct. So I will just say that's my personal opinion from my own life experience. And I suggest that people have a problem with it, please give me a call so we can discuss it. V'tachatzi ketiv amarti Olam chesed yibane, my chesed hu chad mikitre ilae demalka, venishmeta di Israel karala, kuchabarichu chesed altene diat bene vila yishtetze, chesed mealma. Mashma diktiv yibaneh, v'gimol kaf, tanenan man d'sheitze, chesed ma'alma, ishteitze, hu li'alma diate, v'yalda ketiv lo tihye, eshet hamet hachutza, Begin de mabad chesed im meita v'itaved binyana diktiv olam chesed yibane. Come and behold, it is written, for I have said, the world is built by chesed. What is chesed? He answered, it is one of the king's supernal sephirot, namely the highest of the lower seven sephirot. For the Holy One, blessed be He, named the soul of Israel Chesed, on the condition that it would build Chesed. Thus Chesed will never cease. This is derived from the phrase is built, which refers to Chesed that will be built. We have therefore learned that he who causes Chesed to cease in the world will perish in the world to come. Hence it is written, the wife of the dead shall not marry abroad to a stranger. In order to do kindness with the dead man, so that he will be built and established, as it is written, the world is built by chesed. This verse is talking about continuing to do chesed, doing more chesed, building, creating greater and greater chesed in the world. And this is the correction of the world. But it's also talking about the a man who dies without children, and his wife needs to marry his closest relative in order for his reincarnation to take place, or to go through the ritual of the chalitza, which also frees him in order to return and be reincarnated. But without either of those two rituals, The man cannot be reincarnated. And there's another third alternative, which is very long and time-consuming, and we would appreciate speeding the process, so that's why we recommend these two actions. That's the end of the section. You have any questions?
No. I didn't experience it as being very integrated. It seems like, unless my mind is just not very focused right now, but, you know, on one hand you're talking about the different characteristics of women, and then you're talking about who men should marry. I don't really understand all the connections between the pieces here.
Bacha, you're trying to use logic to understand something that is meant to be intuitive. The Zohar is not logical. Logic is a tool of the negative side. It's a tool of Satan.
Okay, I hear you. All right, are we done with the learning? I want to discuss something else with you. Is that okay?
Yes, we're done with the learning.
Thank you very much for this session.
You're welcome.